Brandon, great having you. How's life treating you these days?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me. Life's been good. Yeah, just got back from Palm Springs, and looks like I brought some of the sun back with me.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So for anyone who's taught the game, taken lessons, there seems to be kind of a traditional method. I've been watching some of your YouTube videos. See the swing, break it down, proper angles. Whereas Golf with Freedom, I want to say you have a less restrictive philosophy. I mean, heck, the time you got me out there, we were throwing clubs. So kind of explain your overall philosophy.
Yeah, well, teaching typically is to do instructions, which isn't bad. It's just a way of going about it. But in my experience, people learn from their own experience. So try to set up an environment where they can use their instincts to draw out the technique rather than having tips and techniques and formulas to remember.
You know, one of the swing tip videos I saw, it makes sense despite the fact a dartboard faces you. Obviously, a golf green is on the ground. You talk about connectivity, and the logic really struck me. As we come to address, we can get locked into the ball being the target. So explain kind of how you should not be switching targets because it's not at your feet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in any other sport where we're throwing, like shooting a basketball, we're looking at the net, we're throwing it to the target. We never confuse the ball as the target when we're tossing it forward. But when we're looking at a golf ball on the ground, it becomes pretty common to consider it the target, and it's not. It's the thing being sent to the target, and our bodies respond to what we perceive. So if we perceive the ball as the target, even if you're unaware of it, you're going to have a body motion or an action, which I illustrated in the video with the dartboard, that the energy goes towards the ball rather than the target. So your whole swing gets interrupted. Everything changes when you make the ball the target. And then when you don't switch targets, when you're truly connected, like when we were throwing clubs, that one time we started out by looking at the target and the instinct comes out, the technique comes out with it. And then you start tuning in. Oh, okay, now I sense how my body moves when I'm connected to the target. Do I do that while I'm looking at the ball? Or is it different somehow? And that's where the real learning starts to take place.
Now, this isn't directly related to instructions, but I was actually watching the Golf Channel, and they were talking about maintenance. And this is something I don't think many think of. And I understand it might be different for pros as opposed to the weekend hacker who gets out 10, 12 times a year. But when it comes to the grips on your clubs, do you have a recommendation of how often it should be done and why it's important?
Actually, yeah. I'm a Ping certified fitter, and one of the things we do is measure the hand size for recommended grip size too. And so, depending on your hand size, your preference, even like strength too, is a factor. So, it's one of those things where obviously what it feels like is super important to you, but the size fitting your hand and what your hand strength is to accommodate it. So, if you have like hands with arthritic tendencies or smaller hands, a bigger grip is going to be useful. If you just have bigger hands in general, a bigger grip will be useful. I have a very specific kind of grip on mine because I like the texture of it. And then I have it taped a certain way to take out some of the taper. It's very, kind of specific. But everybody has a sensitivity, and then there are parameters that you can work within to figure out what fits best for you.
Talking with Brandon Richardson, Golf with Freedom, I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about kind of the topic of a lifetime, the announcement just a little over a week ago that, in essence, the PGA, they're done attacking LIV Golf. According to Commissioner Jay Monahan, they're now embracing, I guess, in the name of growing the game, they said. So after a year of calling them evil, what was your reaction when you heard about the merger?
Yeah, I think it's just like every other tour pro that's been asked about that, too. Not that I'm a tour pro, but their reaction was pretty much the same as mine, is that it's like, whoa, where did that come from? I watched Rory's interview. It was about 10 minutes long or so right after that happened, and he was kind of stunned by it, and I appreciated some of the things he had to say about it. We'll just kind of have to see how it pans out. From what I understand, it may not even happen. So there's just so many unanswered things that are attached to it that we're kind of have to just wait and see.
You know, early on I mentioned that you're here in town, Fiddler's Green, out on Highway 99. So kind of give me the details, I guess the basics, you know, when, what. I know the who is you. How long are you out there, and, you know, what are you offering?
Yeah, I'll be here for the summer. I do have a Father's Day special going right now. You can find on golfwithfreedom.com. I just came up, like I said, from Palm Springs, and I'll be hanging out doing coaching out there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then I'll be out at Pine Ridge helping out with some PGA Junior League stuff and doing a few things out there as well. So
nice. Another area I've become interested in as I've gotten older is the pre-golf routine. To be honest, not as limber as I once was. So I go through some stretches so I don't break on the first tee. I'm curious as to whether you're going to hit balls on the range, play around, either what you do or what you might recommend to somebody to, I guess, get maximum flexibility on their swing.
Sure. Consistency is key here. I'm 42 now, so it certainly doesn't come naturally anymore in terms of the flexibility department. But in the morning and the evening, I'll do about a 15-20 minute deal on stretching and maintaining my flexibility. But right before golf, some basic warm ups. I actually have a video on the front end of my website too that people can access. That runs you through a basic 5-minute thing right before you're hitting balls. And I was just introduced to this thing. I haven't even started it yet. I was with a TPI trainer the other day out of Shadow Hills. His name's Nick. And I was introduced to these band exercises that are really intriguing, where it really kind of activates your whole body in these different golf positions, where you pull the band and hold it and resist it in these golf positions. And that's supposed to be done like right before you golf, if you can, and you can attach those things to like golf carts and just kind of pull on them and hold that position for a few seconds to really activate your core and your hips and to get you really primed and ready to go.
You know, I was watching another of your videos about putting, and I thought it was not only interesting, but a great tidbit for the average golfer. You know, we wish we could be automatic, two putts and done. So you talked about attention, where the high-level players have it, where, you know, most people like me, and where we put our attention and how it might impact putting success.
Sure. Another video I shot with the SCGA, the Southern California PGA, they put on a deal where a bunch of us came together and did some videos. And this is something that I was coached on with Fred Shoemaker from Extraordinary Golf. He wrote a book called Extraordinary Putting. And this is an exercise that where you simply just practice being present. So you watch a ball roll until it stops without a target, and then you just watch. And as you see the ball rolling, you might notice that the line on it is wobbling or rolling end over end, or you might notice the, like with the sun reflecting off of it, the sparkles that are on it. And then you'll actually notice at the end when the ball comes to rest, it might actually settle one way or the other. You just practice being with it the whole time. And you'll actually learn how to read greens better this way too, because you're watching the ball the whole time. So you see it rolling, curving, slowing down, and coming to rest. And when you practice doing that and then add a target, if you catch yourself leaving the ball and going out ahead of it, you're recognizing that you're human and you're jumping out ahead of it. And the earlier you do that, and a lot of times you'll see it before people even hit the ball, you can see it in their body language, that they've switched targets and are anticipating ahead of contact. And then you're going to miss a lot of those putts because you're changing your stroke because your attention is pulling your body in a different direction.
I guess it's kind of the new twist on Ty Webb's advice to Danny Noonan of be the ball. So
yeah. It's cliche, but it's true. It's when you're simply present, it's amazing how much consistency can show up and how much technique can show up as well.
You know, a couple final things. Every golfer listening probably be nodding along. There's the pre-shot routine. You know, we know the distance. We grab the club. We've hit this freaking shot 1,000 times. And then we get in our own heads. I was checking out your videos. What's your advice for what you term the intentional pre-shot routine?
Sure. And I actually try to leave out the word routine. I feel like routines put people to sleep. It's
okay.
Trying to remember things while you're doing it. And it's more like a creation. So you look out into the future and there's a ball flight that you're interested in. You go, I'd like to hit it up in the air and on the green, let's say. something very basic, and then you go, okay, what would it feel like to do that? And now you're coming back to being present and taking rehearsal swings that would feel like, oh yeah, I'm brushing the grass, and the size and the energy feels like that would do it. And what you're feeling, the physical awareness of the club moving back and forth and your body moving it, that's where you want to anchor your attention. And if your attention stays there while you're actually swinging, you're present and you're noticing whether you did it or not. And then you're also self-coaching because you notice if you did it or not. And the or not is just as important, because when you go straight into judgment, oh, I hit that bad, I bladed it over the green again, you miss out on the learning. So the judgment pops up, but let it pop by too and come back to, what did I notice? How was it different than what I was rehearsing? And then you won't be as afraid of doing it again as you're learning and developing. It's just like, oh, yeah, I felt this. That happened. It makes sense. Moving on, rather than dreading for the rest of the day or the year that you're going to do it again.
So I have to learn from my rough shots, not just curse at them. All right.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well learn from it. Right.
Again, in closing, for folks who want a lesson or, you know, get a friend a lesson, a son, a grandson, a niece, a nephew, get started playing the game, kind of explain what you have to offer and, of course, how folks can get a hold of you.
Yeah, absolutely. So anybody who's interested in learning, I'm interested in coaching. So you can come out anytime this summer. I'll be up here coaching at Fiddler's Green. The website, you can schedule online. You can see what else is up for special offers and things like that. And then age, ability, doesn't matter. I'm happy to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. So golfwithfreedom.com, and I look forward to seeing anybody out on the lesson tee.
All right, folks, he's a Brandon Richardson, unique, highly successful approach to instruction. Again, he's out at Fiddler's. And again, like you just mentioned, the website is golfwithfreedom.com. Brandon, glad all is going well for you. Really appreciate you making contact. And, of course, it's always great talking golf with you. Be well, and let's do this again later in the summer.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
All right, take it easy. So learn from your bad shots rather than curse them as you try to regroup and make up for the stroke you just gave back. Novel concept, but always fascinating stuff from Brandon. And that brings us to break time. Let's do that back with more 95.3 The Score.